Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Nice to be back. Thanks for keeping the chair warm, Chris Vandercook.
Hey, welcome back. Yeah, home is the hunter.
This is true, and I've been hunting elsewhere for a little while, but it's nice to be back in my own stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Good to see you. Well, we've got lots to talk about on this Monday morning, as we usually do, starting with this conversation. You know that sharing the experience of Hawaii can be a profitable endeavor, especially when you already have a house. And whether legal or not, renting to tourists has implications for neighborhoods, Kauai's North Shore, for example. Longtime residents say it's not just the character of the place that's irrevocably changed. It's the impact on infrastructure and the potential for visitors to not necessarily get what they bargained for in accommodations or perhaps safety. And while the community is grappling with its resiliency plan, Kauai prosecuting attorney Justin Coller has to enforce transient vacation rental regulations, and he's joining us now by phone as we pick up the conversation about TVRs on Kauai. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we had the new regulations that came in just, about 6 weeks or so ago, and whereas we've talked about a lot of the many layered effects that having so many TVRs in the North Shore might have, we didn't really have a lot of chance to talk about the regulatory side of this when we were on Kauai. So we wanted to talk to you for a little bit. How is it going in having to enforce these regulations?
Well, it's going well. You know, we're making some progress, I think. The thing to keep in mind for us is that I think, you know, most of the folks out there do want to do the right thing, and most folks out there do want to comply with the laws that are on the books. It's just, you know, there's always some outliers that kind of, you know, make it so that we have to come in there and take some additional steps to get that compliance. So
what do those steps look like, Justin?
Go ahead.
What do those additional steps look like? How do you strong-arm them into compliance?
Well, basically, you know, the criminal penalties are there as a last resort. And, you know, under our county charter, it is a crime to fail to comply with the provisions of the comprehensive zoning ordinance. And so if we've got folks out there that we think are just, you know, if it's a case where it really warrants that criminal charge, that, you know, nothing else has worked and, you know, no interest in showing compliance or what we perceive to be a, you know, willful refusal to come into line with what the law requires, you know, we do have the option to file those charges in the district court and proceed along that route. So with most cases, it doesn't get to that level, but then, well, on occasion it does, and we have to come in and kind of be that hammer. So,
while we were on Kauai earlier in the month, you know, one of the things we heard is that in some ways this is pitting neighbor against neighbor, because some who say, hey, we're doing this and it's perfectly legal and here we are in compliance with it, and others who are saying, yes, but you've really changed how neighborhoods are being able to, you know, move and grow in a way that supports the neighbors, the real neighbors who stay there time to time. That's not something that you can really get into, but are there scuffles between neighbors where you have to be able to step in?
Well, you know, that policy discussion is sort of a larger community conversation that we're a small part of. You know, as far as me, you know, enforcing what is the character of the community or the that sort of thing, you know, we have the laws that are on the books, and that's what we're out there enforcing. So, you know, to me, if there's a dispute where, you know, neighbors are having an argument that turns physical or there's something like that, some crime that's committed, you know, we can get involved at that point. But for the large part, even when folks here disagree, they tend to do so in a pretty civil way. And especially if it's coming from a place of care for the community and care for their neighborhood.
So you don't have anybody calling you saying, hey, we think there's a TVR over there, go investigate?
Oh, we get those calls all the time, and we get those, we get complaints on a regular basis, and generally, you know, we can do some follow-up on our side in terms of checking and seeing what is the story with a particular property, and So we do receive complaints from the community, and there are a number of very concerned and very committed individuals on the North Shore that have been monitoring this situation for a long time, and they're people who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, just in terms of the amount of work they've done to kind of highlight this issue in their neighborhood. And, you know, the folks like Barbara Robeson and Karen Diamond and Joan Conroe, who have put a lot of energy into bringing this issue to light, you know, I have a ton of admiration for what they've done.
For those people who are living in the neighborhoods and who know that there's no going back, I mean, while we were there, one of the clear messages that we heard was, you know, it's irrevocably changed, and we understand that, but that's why we're working on the resiliency plan and trying to make sure that should disaster strike, which would be a big problem for everybody, that the right safety measures would be taken and that people would know what to do. Is that something that you're also trying to allow people to do on their own, or are you taking more steps to tell them what they have to do to be able to be compliant with safety standards?
Well, that's sort of one of the big concerns with having so many folks crammed into so small an area, or staying in an area that was not designed to hold that many people, is that, you know, when that tsunami warning comes, there's only one road out of that part of the island, and it's not a wide road, and it's at night, it's dark, and you know, so you really want to make sure that if you've got folks up there, that the infrastructure can handle getting them out of there in the event that there's an emergency. And you also want to make sure that you've got the infrastructure in place just to handle the regular day-to-day activities that come along with having that many people in an area like that, in terms of roads and septic and water and things like that, because we do want people to be safe when they're staying here and visiting our beautiful island. And we want the folks who are running these vacation rentals to understand that they've got a real obligation to make sure that the people who are renting from them are going to be safe when they're staying here. So it's important to us that people respect that, because it is a public health and public safety issue.
And it would be problematic for everyone should something really go wrong. But as you look at the situation right now, with everything that we've talked about over time and the fact that, you know, this is ongoing with the community, very briefly, how would you characterize where everyone is in the process right now, as you see it, from legal to, you know, that sort of continuum between illegal to legal TVRs?
Well, you know, like I said, I think most people do want to do the right thing, and we want to help people do the right thing.
So does that mean you don't see this as being as much of a problem as a lot of people might think it is?
Well, it's a big problem for the people who are in that community, and it's a big problem for the people who are in that neighborhood, and it will be a big problem in the event that something out there goes wrong and people are unable to get out. And then, you know, we'll be in a situation of having to point fingers. And it's much better from our perspective if we can avoid that in the first place and be proactive. So,
which is part of what they're trying to do with the resiliency plan.
Right, exactly. And the folks up there who are working on that resiliency plan are brilliant and caring, and they want nothing but the best. And, you know, for the folks who live here year-round and for the visitors who come here to just spend some time.
Well, we're going to have to let it go for the moment. We'll pick up the conversation more. But there's still the issue of one road in, one road out, and perhaps that will be a complicated issue to change, too. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Take care. Aloha.
And Justin Kohler is a prosecuting attorney for the County of Kauai, responsible for prosecuting all crimes under state law or county charter within the county.